in a way, today, we've got two things going on at the same time. We've got Mother's Day, and we've got Mothering Sunday. The two of them often get muddled up, but really, they're quite different. Mother's Day, as I'm sure you all know, was invented in America. An American lady thought about it at the beginning of the 20th century. And the whole idea was to have a day when people could show their respect and their love for their mothers. A most excellent idea. I'm not completely sure that I feel it's quite so excellent when I go around the supermarkets and file aisle upon aisle of presents for mummies, or I drive down the roads and I find big signs outside pubs and restaurants sort of inviting you to treat mum to the restaurant and all the rest of it. But that's probably being me very naughty and cynical. On the other hand, there's Mothering Sunday. And Mothering Sunday has got a very, very long history, and a history which is trying to bring out really rather different things. Very early in the church's life, people responded to the commands of Jesus that people should go out and preach the gospel. And religious communities were formed, and they took up their missionary activity, going to spread the gospel all around and being very practical and also, I think, a very excellent way of doing mission. They added to that things like what we would call hospitals now. I mean, certainly caring for people when they were poorly, or educating people, or caring for people who had poverty. It was an exercise of the practicalities of the gospel. But, of course, that was very demanding. And so every so often, they would be called back to their mother house. And that's still a tradition in religious communities. And they would be called back on the fourth Sunday after Lent, is known as Refreshment Sunday, and they'd be called back to become refreshed, restored, put back together again after all of the challenges that they had to face, perhaps even given some new inner strength, some new skills, and also, of course, to enjoy the family of their own religious order and religious community. Very, very sensible idea. Now, as the parishes developed, that same kind of idea became associated with parish churches. I talked at the beginning about, you know, universities and alma maters and things like that. Well, in a way, parish churches were the same. And parish churches were caring for their villages. Very often, they were responsible for providing education. Very often, they were responsible for providing for people who'd fallen on hard times. Even for housing for people who come to the end of their working lives and would otherwise be thrown out of their tied cottages. Very, very caring sort of environment. People would be brought to church to be baptized. They would live through the processes of the church and learning, perhaps even if they were lucky, reading and writing, and brought to confirmation. And then that great sacrament of marriage where you found someone, you know, the love of your life, and you are brought together in a sacred moment because, after all, God is love. And what better to celebrate than to come with that love into the environment of love and to have that love confirmed in you for the rest of your life. And you bring your own children, and it was all part of the whole story of living in the village. And then eventually you would be laid to rest into the loving arms of God by your friends and your neighbours and things like that. It was all wonderfully self-contained. I've actually known two men, one from Horsted Keynes, one from Borkham, who actually never moved away from the village of their birth, except as far as they could walk and get back in a day. that kind of village community survived over many hundreds of years until the Industrial Revolution. What a shock that must have been, to be suddenly torn away from the bosom of your family, because that's where the work was, and thrown into these alien sort of environments. Fortunately, Queen Victoria particularly actually encouraged philanthropy. And if you wanted an honour, if you wanted to become Lord so-and-so, you had to show the Queen that you cared for your workers. And that, you know, you built the little houses and schools and things like that. And even to the extent that you might actually allow them to go home occasionally. Wow, what an amazing thought. I actually could talk personally about this because my gran, my poor gran, had an accident when she was a child. And ever after that, she limped. And in those days, people weren't very good at dealing with people who had handicaps. And when she went to work in a big house when she was 11, she was never allowed to be seen by the family. She had to hide if the family were around. Most of her work she had to do in the middle of the night so that she wouldn't be seen by the family. But once a year she was allowed to go home. Go home to her village, go home to her mum. And even there, the cook would bake a cake so that she could take it home. And she could pick flowers on the way as she went home and all the rest of it. And all of that becomes wrapped up in the whole idea of Mothering Sunday. If Mother's Day is about practicalities, Mothering Sunday is about principles. And that hasn't stopped for one moment of time. Here, today, and every Sunday, incidentally, we come into an environment which is about principles. This is the home of God, who is described as love. This is the home of the God of love. And in his name, this church and his people have a responsibility for taking that love into this community. I hope I'm pointing in the right direction. Into this community. They need mothering. They need to know about the love of God. They need to feel that love of God. And where they do feel, even if they don't come and sit on the pews every Sunday, or even hardly ever, that doesn't matter. Because they know you're here. They know this is here. And they know about God's love. And one day, if they need it, when they are looking to come home, they will know where to go, because this is their mother church.